Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 7, which says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This verse is really important because it tells us that God is waiting for us to repent. God's waiting for us to confess our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we reach out, when we do confess our sins, then God is able to pardon that sin, put it aside. And of course, we're told that our sins are actually forgotten by God and they never come up in our lives again. And so this is a wonderful text, and it's really a text of returning to the Lord, which is really repentance. We were going the wrong way, we were doing the sinning way, and we returned to God. But it says, he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. What wonderful words. He pardons our sin. And then we have relationship with the Most High God. We have a connection back with God. We can sense his presence. We can know what his will is for our life each day. We can be empowered by the Spirit of God, and we can see God work through us as he opens doors for us, as he uses us in many different situations, and as he blesses our lives.
Redeeming blood, he loved. This is the radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Martin Stamm, who is a tremendous ministry among truck drivers all over Europe. Martin, why don't you tell us how the Lord got you into this kind of a ministry? I know you were a pastor and had a teaching ministry.
Yeah, but first of all, I like to address the truck drivers in Canada.
Okay.
You're a very special people, because everything that I wear, everything that I see around me and what I see outside me, it was in one way or another, it was in a truck. So you are delivering everything that we need. And when you stop, the whole world stops. So thank you very much for being there and doing your job. So then how it started. It started against my will. I was a pastor, and I was teaching and preaching, and that's what I did. That was in my heart. I like to do that. And then a person asked me to make a cassette tape, and I think the millennials do not know what it is, but I made it that tape because I was also in that same time I was making radio programs for the Dutch Antilles, and so I had a little studio. I was able to make the tape, and I presented to the person that asked for it, and he didn't use it. So then it was in my study, standing there, and Faya, my dear wife, was now with the Lord, and we prayed about it, and the Lord gave us in our heart to put an advert in the Christian newspapers presenting the tape for the Christian truck drivers to hand it out to their colleagues. So many of them stopped by our house once a while, took up a package of these cassette tapes, and Dutch drivers came to the Lord. And it was a way that we did not expect. But finally, we had a little magazine for truck drivers, which I edited. We had Truckers Days twice a year in Holland. It ran a little bit out of our hands. And on a certain point in our lives, we had to decide to go further with the trucking ministry or with the church. And on a vacation that Faye and I had here in Switzerland, we came back in the car, and we had trusted the Lord that He would speak to our hearts in that vacation time. So we drove back home, and Faye said to me, "And do you know what we have to do?" I said, "Yes." "Do you?" She said, "Yes." I said, then she said to me, "Tell me what the Lord has said you." I said, "No, you tell me." So then she said, "Okay, let's do it together." So and we said, "Trucking." So we had to go back. We went back to our church, and we told the people that we were withdrawers from the church in some time. And then this ministry among the truck drivers, which we had started during our work in the pastorate, that was then started in 86. So now we have 30 years of ministry. We will celebrate that next October 8th on the Truckers' Day in Almere in the Netherlands. So it's 30 years now.
And do you have any idea how many countries that you've actually ministered in with this ministry over 30 years?
Yeah. Well, I can. It's easier to say which country not. That's Turkey. Well, we never went into Turkey, I must say that. And we never went into the Ukraine, and we never went into Belarus, and we never went into Russia. But we have sent, I must say that in the first, we have tracks with us, and on the back side of the tracks is a voucher people can fill out and ask for material. And they are sending that to us. And we have sent out Bibles and Bible study material, and in the past cassette tapes, and now CDs and DVDs, to all European countries, even to Turkey, to Belarus, to Russia, to the Ukraine, to Estonia, Lithuania, well, name them, we have sent their material, and we have been there. But not only the two of us. We have in the Netherlands, we have about 400 Christian truck drivers who are supporting us in one way or another, and who are handing out tracts to their colleagues when they are on the parking places. So what Nita and I do is only a drip of what has been done, also by others.
Well, the Lord has certainly used you and opened lots of doors for you. And we know that you've affected thousands and thousands of people over the years. And the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners. And we really encourage you to write in and let us know how the Lord is working in your life through this broadcast. And if we can be of any help, prayer requests, please let us know and we will be praying for you. This month we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on the book of Hebrews. As you are aware, probably Hebrews is the second hardest book in the New Testament to understand after the book of Revelation. This booklet really outlines it well. The supremacy of Christ, it talks about the day of about the Melchizedek and the high priest, talks about Christ's superiority over angels, and then also has the Hall of Fame in it, and it has that chart, which is really nice. It's members of the Hall of Fame and what they did, and how encouraging that was to me just to look down across that. So this is a booklet that I think that can greatly help your Bible knowledge as well as your walk with the Lord, as we realize that Jesus is the great high priest. It's an encouragement in suffering and other things that are listed there, and it also has a great appeal to serve the Lord and to be all that we can be for God. And I think it will draw you closer to God as you study the pamphlet. You can get this pamphlet by writing into our office. You're going to write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R787, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled The Lord's Great Supper. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like to talk with you on the topic, The Lord's Great Supper. This will not be about what is referred to as the Lord's Supper or the communion table, but rather about an interesting parable that Jesus spoke of about a man who gave a great supper. Now, just about everybody enjoys a banquet, especially if someone else pays the tab, and that's exactly what God does in this banquet. So let us turn to Luke chapter 14. First, let us find the setting. In verse 1, we find Jesus going into the house of a chief Pharisee to eat bread. So he is sitting at meat with the Pharisees. He later heals a man which had the dropsy, and then he taught those around about him something about true humility and true hospitality, saying that instead of giving a feast for your rich friends, give one instead for all the poor who never get invited and who can't recompense you, and you will be blessed. It says then in verse 15 that when one of them that sat at meat with Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, this unnamed man surely assumed that he, along with all his elite Pharisee friends, would surely be among those who sat down at God's coming kingdom. it was to correct this view that not everybody is going to enter the kingdom of God, that Jesus told the parable of the Great Supper. We read in verse 16, "Then said Jesus unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all began to make excuse. The first saith unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showeth his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Now, we all know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus often used stories to impart significant spiritual truth, as he does here. The man giving the feast, no doubt, is God the Father. The servant is the Holy Spirit. The great supper is very significant and comes toward the end of the day. If we were to think of man's history as being one day, then creation would be the sunrise. The great Old Testament age of the patriarchs would be the morning hours, the law and the prophets would be the afternoon hours, and so dispensationally speaking, supper time would be nothing other than this present age of grace. Think of it then. God the Father likens what Jesus has done for us to a great supper, a super banquet provided by himself. The table is loaded with supplies. In fact, everything that man needs is abundantly supplied and ready for us in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 7 says that in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. This great supper that God is inviting men to in Christ is according to the mighty riches of his grace. There is to be no skimping at God's heavenly table, and it is abounding or in great abundance. So no one needs to fear that there will not be enough for him. The age of grace from the cross to this present time then is referred to, or could be referred to, as God's great spiritual supper. For in Christ, God has supplied everything that the soul of man needs. What does your soul need today? Forgiveness of sins? Then come to God's great banquet table and partake freely. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians says. And 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Christ, God has made provision for the sins of men everywhere. What a blessed banquet we can have if we'll only take his invitation and come to the table. Some may say, I need peace, peace of mind and of heart and of soul. Then come to the great supper table. For in Christ God has made provision for you. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of sin, man's soul is at war with God. But God himself has made the peace treaty, sending Jesus to pay the price of sin on the cross. We can receive peace by faith, that is, believing or coming to God's table and taking a big helping of what he has provided. We not only can have peace with God in Christ, but the peace of God. Jesus encouraged his disciples before his death with the words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14. The storms of terrorism and war are lashing our world today. But in Christ, we can be lifted up above the storms and rest in God's love and in his power and in the knowledge that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Come to God's great banquet table and take a double helping of his promises, which alone can bring peace and rest. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. What great promises the believer has. Then the believer is even offered peace in the face of death. That's a great supper item. King David wrote, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Psalm 23. Jesus, facing death, said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14. God has promised that death for the believer will be a blessed and sure homegoing, and it will only usher us into the presence of the Savior forever. Come to God's great supper table and lay hold of these great provisions for your soul. There are just endless provisions awaiting us on God's table. You can think of purpose in life, wisdom and understanding in spiritual things, holiness of life, love, power to overcome sin, and so many, many more. But let us note, too, that the first ones to be invited were the Jewish people of Jesus' day, especially the religious leaders, but they insulted the Master by rejecting his generous offer, making lame excuses. "I must go and see the land that I bought." Who in his right mind would buy land that he had never seen? That was pretty lame. "I bought oxen and need to see if they can work." Foolishness. You can be sure he had watched long and hard before he bought those oxen. "I have married a wife, and I cannot come." He must have been very recently married, for what wife does not want to go out for supper? As one husband said, "My wife has three favorite words, let's eat out." The Jews had known about God's great supper or invitation for many, many years. Prophets had foretold Christ's coming. They should have been ready and willing to accept God's invitation instead of rejecting him. The people listening to Jesus would certainly recognize the great insult that was being handed out to the master of the house by their ridiculous excuses. But that's just how the Jews and religious leaders of Jesus' day responded. They found fault rather than believe, and finally rejected Christ and nailed him to a cross. Now, we must examine here the seriousness of this rejection. Jesus said in verse 24, "For I say unto you, none of those men which were invited shall taste of my supper." We see how serious it is to reject Christ. We need to remember that supper time does not last forever. If we continually reject Christ and his offer of salvation, then there will come a time when God has to accept your decision as final, and that means only a deep and eternal regret will be left for those who reject the Lord Jesus. After the original rejection, an invitation was extended to the poor, the maimed, and the halt and the blind, verse 21 says. These would be people who were looked down upon by the elite of Jesus' day and considered unworthy. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you," Matthew 21. People who realized they were sinners would welcome God's invitation to come and receive forgiveness. The parable then says, "Yet there is room. And the invitation was extended to those in the highways and byways, verse 23 says. These would be people outside the holy city of Jerusalem, and suggests the Gentiles, who normally were outside the blessings and the holy promises, but because of Jewish rejection, were invited to God's great supper. The gospel was preached by Paul and Peter to the Gentiles, and thousands were converted. Today there are millions of believers from the highways and byways of the world who have heard the gospel and accepted God's invitation. I hope you do too. There are three special reasons in the parable why people should accept God's supper invitation. First, verse 17, "Come, for all things are now ready." The Jews looked and longed for their Messiah for centuries, but he now has come. He has died on the cross, and he has demonstrated by his words and his works that he was the Son of God. You can find salvation in him if you will come and receive him. Secondly, we can come, for all classes of men are invited. Go out into the streets and lanes of the city, it said, and invite them. The privileged Jew can still come. Then go into the highways and byways and invite them. And the gospel of Christ is being preached today throughout the highways and byways of earth, and millions are coming. Then thirdly, come, for there is yet room, verse 22. There is still room at God's great supper table. The blessings of salvation and forgiveness of sin are still being offered after 2,000 years. That's a long time for a supper meal. But one day the last place will be taken, and the Lord of the house will close the door of opportunity forever. A beautiful hymn some years ago was entitled "Room at the Cross for You." Friends, there is room at the cross. Many, many millions have come, but there's still room for you at the cross. Scripture says that Christ is coming to call his church home. We don't know when, but when the time comes, it will only take a moment. For the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Christ will come. To be sure that you are ready, you need to open your heart to him today and receive him as your Lord and Savior. I hope you will do that.
I know the message you just heard will be a real blessing to you throughout this next week, and I trust that you apply some of the principles that were mentioned to your own lives, and I hope it'll draw you closer to the Savior. Here at Kansas National Bible Hour, our big concern is that listeners not only have faith in Christ and grow in their walk with Christ, but also there are many that listen to us who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the most important decision on earth while you're here is to receive Christ as your Savior. The gospel is very clear that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that's holy, not one of us that does right, thinks right, is right. And so we need a Savior. And the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me." He's the only Savior. Because of that, he's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that bore your sins in his own body. He's the one that took your place on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that purchased you or redeemed you by his own precious blood. And you receive him into your life by asking him to come in. You have to receive him. God has given us a perfect gift. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who did all the work on the cross, but you have to ask him to become part of your life and turn your life over to him. Also, remember to order your copy of the book of Hebrews. You definitely want to get a copy of this book right this week at Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also visit us on our website at missiongo.org. And please continue to remember us in your prayers, and may the good Lord bless you throughout this next week.